Now, I had planned for this session to address two subjects: technology, continuing where we left off last week, and then transhumanism, but I had way too much information, and so I'm going to have to split them into two. And so the topic for this lesson is just simply going to be a biblical view of technology, and we'll have transhumanism in a separate session. And so we're going to pick up where we left off at the end of last lesson, where we talked about religion and technology, and I gave you a little bit on technology, but we're going to have a lot on that, and that'll be the focus of this session. Now, you might be asking at this point, and appropriately so, technology, transhumanism, why is that in a series on biblical worldview issues? And I don't fault you for wondering that if you are. In fact, I would have asked the same question just a matter of a few years ago. But we've now entered a unique moment in world history, haven't we? Where technology is playing an integral role in our everyday lives, and it seems that we've become dependent upon our technology. Can you go out of the house without taking your phone with you? No, absolutely not. How much screen time do you have every day, whether it's your phone or your computer screen? It's become an integral part of our everyday life. And this technology that we're immersed in today has actually spawned a whole new philosophy of life, and I would say religion, based on that technology, namely transhumanism. And so we'll cover that in a future session. But before we look at astounding developments in the area of digital and electronic technology and how these fit in with Bible prophecy, let's just take a few minutes to review what we studied last time regarding technology. We saw from Genesis chapter 4, the end of that chapter, that Cain is allowed to live by God, and he has a son. He has Lamech. Lamech has various sons, Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain. And this forms the foundation for technological development in human history. That passage contains the first record of technological advancement with the building of a city, with animal husbandry, musical instruments, and metallurgy. And then we also saw that human technology originated from mankind's creative capacity, which is a reflection of the fact that we're made in the image of God. Remember, as being part of the image of God, we have intellect, emotion, will. We have that capacity, much more elevated than the animal realm, to take the created world around us and use those resources to reshape and fashion and develop the technologies that are here. And all of this was a matter of fulfilling the dominion mandate to exercise dominion over the planet. And so I say all of that so we would understand that I'm not saying technology is bad. In fact, there's two imbalances to this. There's the imbalance that says we should fear technology, you know, kind of the Amish approach, and then just avoid it altogether. And then there's the imbalance that allows us to be enslaved to our technology and even to trust in it rather than God, and that's the imbalance of transhumanism. Both are ditches we want to avoid. Technology is neither inherently good or evil, although all the resources for it came from the good earth that God created. And so it really depends on the motives and the purposes of the man who creates and uses technology. A third point that we saw was that though the Bible does not explicitly say that technology will increase throughout human history, major advances in technology today can now help explain how certain prophetic passages might be fulfilled. And I mentioned Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, in this context last time. That verse says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." And a lot of people look at that verse who are into Bible prophecy, and they say, "See, here's a verse that proves that travel will increase along with knowledge in the end times." So this is an indication of technology and even automobiles and airplanes and such. And I think that's a misreading of this passage. Really what it's saying is that the knowledge of the Word of God, the Scriptures, will increase. As people search it, that's the idea behind to and fro. And then Daniel 12 goes on to say that the wise will understand these prophetic truths that are happening in the end times. Now, let's get some prophetic context for the passages and events that we're going to be studying this hour. And the first thing that you should know is that the Bible has a linear view of history, not only past and present, but also as it pertains to the future. There's a definite beginning, Genesis 1:1, of course, and a definite end. And this is in contrast to Eastern philosophies that have a secular view of life and history, and really they tolerate the mixture of good and evil just existing in perpetuity. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that, thank God. Evil will have an end, it will be judged, and according to biblical perspective, this linear view of history, things are moving towards a climactic end. And I believe we are getting very close to some of those climactic events. Now, here's an overview of Bible prophecy. We know that we're living in the church age right now, and I would say that we're at the end of that church age from all indications. And at the end of the church age, the very end, the church will be raptured. Those dead in Christ will have their bodies raised up first. Our bodies will be caught up. We'll get a new glorified body. That'll be our resurrection. That's the rapture. We'll be in heaven for 7 years, while on earth a tribulation is unfolding of a seven-year period. This is the time in which there'll be a one-world government, economy, religion, and so forth. Antichrist will arise out of this, and Satan will have his opportunity to finally have in place what he's been working towards for thousands of years. But God will put the kibosh on that, as Jesus Christ will come back in glory to judge Satan and his kingdom, and to set up his own kingdom, a kingdom of true righteousness and peace that begins with the thousand-year phase and then goes into eternity. So that's an overview, prophetically, of the things we're going to be talking about this morning in terms of technology and where they fit in. So we're going to pick up our lesson today, where we left off last week, by seeing how major advances in technology can now help explain certain prophetic passages and how they might be fulfilled, and I would even add how they will likely be fulfilled, as that's how it's beginning to appear. And most of these examples deal with Revelation chapter 13, a chapter that describes the second half of the tribulation, that's 7 years. The second half is the last 3.5 years, where the Antichrist has announced himself to be God to the world and demands worship, and there'll be a one-world consolidated economy, government, religion, and so forth. And so we see the groundwork for this being laid in our day with the technological advancements that we're going to see. Are you ready? Buckle your seatbelt. Let's start in Revelation chapter 11 with one example. It says in verses 9 and 10, "Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies," that is the two Jewish witnesses, probably Moses and Elijah, who had been prophesying. They'll see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another. I find that astounding. They'll rejoice that two of God's great prophets are finally dead, they think, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. And they also prophesied, by the way. Now, these two witnesses are going to have their ministry sometime around the first half, I think, maybe to the midpoint of the tribulation or so. But it's very interesting here that it says all the nations, or the nations, tribes and tongues, a term that's very encompassing. So it speaks of the planet, in essence. They will see them lying there for 3.5 days, and then, of course, they rise from the dead and they're caught up to heaven. But in centuries past, can you imagine being a believer and you have your copy of the book of Revelation and you're reading it and you come to a passage like this and, you know the earth is round anyway, and so you're scratching your head saying, well, how can people way over here on this part of the world know what's going on in Jerusalem? That would be impossible. Well, the answer now is not hard to see. In a word, it's satellites. Satellites were launched into Earth's orbit, we know, in 1957 with Russia's Sputnik, and that launched the space race among nations. And for decades since, satellites have been used to broadcast live sporting events and news from all around the globe. Just think of 1970s, ABC's Wide World of Sports. They would cover events all over the world. It was right in their title for their show. So there's one simple example right here of how modern technology can help explain these amazing prophetic passages and how they will likely be fulfilled. Here's another example from Revelation 13 in reference to the false prophet who has a ministry of promoting the Antichrist, pointing people to him. It says in verses 14 and 15, he, the false prophet, deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image to be killed. Now, what is this image going to be? We don't know exactly, but Satan will be behind it to promote false worship of the Antichrist. And it's reminiscent to me of that 90-foot gold statue that we read about in Daniel chapter 3, the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar, which basically was a giant idol, and all the people had to bow down and worship, and if they didn't, they'd be put to death. Of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived miraculously. Did you know there's a company out of Ireland right now in partnership with a German company known as the Giant Company, which is launching the world's tallest moving, speaking, even singing statue known as the Giant? It's 10 stories high, and it takes on the appearance outwardly, electronically, of historic figures from the past as well as today's cultural heroes. And here's an online promotion of it.
People of the world, welcome to The Giant. The visitor attraction for the 21st century. The exhibition space featuring the Giant Experience, a glorious celebration of the great men and women of your country, inventors, artists, scientists, celebrities, and athletes. The viewing tower. See the city from the shoulders of a giant. The roof garden. New dimensions in retail, gastronomy, and special events for diversity of occasions. The world's tallest moving sculpture. Its head moves. Its arms move. It speaks and sings.
Hi, I'm pleased to meet you.
A place to behold heroes and superheroes. A space to celebrate the great and the good, the game changers, the icons of your city and country. Every hour, the giant transforms into an extraordinary person. From sports, science, characters, your favorite heroes, and recites poetry and words of wisdom to the crowds below.
Now, can you see how Satan might want to take that giant and animate it for his purposes? Absolutely. The entrepreneurs behind the Giant Company are looking for over 20 cities around the world where they want to place these structures in the next few years. They're looking for the cities to do that. Now, it could be that Revelation 13, verses 14 and 15, might be fulfilled through the use of a hologram as well. That could be the image. Here's Julia White from the Azure AI Services Company demonstrating this technology, and this is from 3 years ago already, this video. And so just take a look here.
First, let me introduce you to Mini-Me. There she is, my perfect holograph. And thanks to the power of HoloLens 2, she just floats right with me. I'm literally holding my hologram, so natural. Now, she's a little small to do a keynote. So let's get her up so she can do full-size Japanese keynote. Render keynote.
Hold 驚くべきことがあります。私たちは最新の複合現実キャプチャ技術を使用し、私のホログラムを作成しています。実在の人物をホログラムとして見たことがあるかもしれませんが、私が実際に日本語を話しているのが新しいのです。私は日本語を話しませんが、私の声とホログラムは完璧な日本語で話しています。これはニューラルテキスト読み上げと呼ばれる最新の人工知能技術、いわゆるニューラル TTS を使用しています。私たちは自分の声の録音を使用し、私の読みを聞こえる私自身の個人的な音声署名を作成します。日本語からフランス語、ポルトガル語まで話せます。今この技術は私たちが働き、遊び、生活する方法に関して世界中の国境や障壁を取り除くことができると想像してみてください。まさに SF が現実になるところです。
The idea. So the image of the beast will speak to the world. We know that from the passage here in Revelation 13, 14 to 15. And maybe, perhaps, the Antichrist will use this technology to have languages used around the world, whether it's through the giant structure or through a hologram, etc. It's clearly capable of being used for satanic ends. In fact, I know of, in a positive sense, I guess, I heard of one pastor share the story that he was visiting apparently at a church. It was a mega church here in the United States, and they didn't have their pastor present that Sunday, so they had a hologram of the pastor. And he preached and spoke just like normal, and this visiting pastor afterwards was talking to members of the congregation. I said, wasn't that amazing? But that was the hologram, and the visiting pastor said, no, that wasn't a hologram, that was real. And they said, no, that was a hologram, that was not our pastor. That was pre-recorded and then played, in essence, and it looked very real. So this technology evidently is developing to a very high level. But here's a third example of how technology can be used, I think, probably will be used, to fulfill Bible prophecy. Going on in Revelation 13, it says in verses 16 and 17, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. No one may buy or sell unless they have this mark. So the mark will be necessary to participate in the coming global economy. We all know that everything is moving very quickly towards a cashless digital economy. Fewer and fewer people are carrying cash on hand. In fact, it's typical to have just a couple dollars maybe in your wallet, and you use your debit card or maybe your credit card wherever you go. And so a digital currency is coming quickly. Perhaps it'll be one common global currency, or perhaps a basket of approved currencies, as there are a number of different digital or crypto type currencies today. But it's coming, and there are advantages and selling points to this that we're already hearing about, that it'll be fast and convenient. You don't need to carry around, you know, bills and coins in your purse or wallet to have more than enough to pay for whatever items you have. Just pull out your card and swipe it. It's far easier, and that's why everything's moving towards that. Cash is becoming obsolete. There's the advantage that it can be secure. Evidently, from who? Well, from the government's perspective, it can help prevent fraud and financial corruption. It can be tracked much more easily than all the transactions that take place off the books, so to speak. And of course, this can be used globally, across borders, so it alleviates inconveniences with exchange rates and all of that that have to be calculated through traditional cash. Now we have blockchain technology. This is in essence an electronic ledger where every digital transaction is added to previous transactions that you've had, and then it's stored electronically under your own unique ID, and those transactions are validated. So you have a continuous string of transactions that are recorded that cannot be hacked, supposedly, and it is attached to your personal ID. This is your blockchain. And this is already being used very widely with popular cryptocurrencies today, like Bitcoin. And maybe you heard that last month, our President Biden, on March 9th, issued an executive order to prepare the U.S. for a central bank digital currency, a CBDC, as it's called, and it would use this blockchain technology. And as you read through this executive order, and I did, it's rather dry, but there are portions in it where it speaks of the need for this because it will enhance equity, inclusivity, and climate change. It will help with that. I'm thinking, what? But these are all buzzwords, you know, cultural buzzwords today that are going to be used, as we'll see in our upcoming lessons on socialism. Buzzwords and key terms that are part of a larger agenda to sell the world into a form of global socialism. Now, I don't know when this digital currency is going to be coming to the United States, but a lot of people who are experts in this area say that it could very well be within the next year. In fact, you might have seen this clip just a couple of weeks ago at the annual World Government Summit in Dubai. Now, how many of you even know that there's an annual World Government Summit that meets every year in Dubai? But there, Pippa Malmgren came right out and announced that a digital currency is coming very soon to the world. You might say, well, who is Pippa Malmgren? Good question. She's an American technology entrepreneur. She's also an economist with a PhD from the London School of Economics. She's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, so she's very well connected, and she has served as special assistant to President George W. Bush. Her father was well known in government circles. He was a senior aide to Presidents John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, and Gerald Ford. And here's what Pippa Malmgren had to say just a couple of weeks ago.
Late for that. I remember talking to an Australian diplomat at one point about this break between the U.S. and China, and said, you know, both sides are going to say, whose team are you on? Mm. And he said, our job is to make sure the question never arises. But the question has arisen. And so I think we have to go deeper. And it's not about the U.S. versus China. It's about what underpins a world order is always the financial system. Mm. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71. And so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private. But what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well.
Very revealing. So buckle your seatbelts, folks. I found this article from last June 2021. It speaks of the Bank of England telling ministers to intervene on digital currency programming. And you might ask, well, what is programmable digital currency? Like, China has their yuan that's programmable. Evidently, the British pound, its digital currency form, is going to be programmable. What does that mean? Well, this is a very important concept. Here's an article that says, in fact, the subtitle says, if you can read it, digital cash could be programmed to ensure that it is only spent on essentials or goods which an employer or government deems to be sensible. Oh, I see. I see where this is going. And the first sentence of the article reads this: the Bank of England has called on ministers to, and they call their government officials there ministers on behalf of the country, call on ministers to decide whether a central bank digital currency should be programmable, ultimately giving the issuer control over how it is spent by the recipient. You are the recipient. So you can see where this is going. Digital currency will make it very possible for the Antichrist to basically shut off people's bank accounts immediately so that no one can buy or sell, in the language of verse 17, except those who have the mark of the beast. They may try to buy, you may go try to buy something. Well, you're going to be raptured if you're saved. You won't be there. But those in the tribulation will go try to buy something electronically, and they'll get a message like this: your account's been suspended for 14 days, unauthorized transaction. You've been debanked, in essence. And this isn't hard to conceive, is it? In China right now, they have a social credit score attached to their electronic bank accounts, and this system's pretty much in place there. And we already know from the recent example of the Canadian truckers and those who tried to contribute to their cause on a GoFundMe page, how the government of Canada basically froze their accounts. They can do this if they choose to. This is where things are headed. So what will be needed to process all this massive amount of financial information and data and to track billions of transactions on a daily basis all over the globe? What's needed is supercomputing capability, both the hardware and the software to pull this off. And guess what, folks? It's here. Classical computing, as we've known it for the last several decades, uses digital technology where all words and numbers are represented by a string of ones and zeros in binary quantification. But now there's something called quantum computing. And here's a picture of a quantum computer that can analyze not just binary data sets of ones and zeros, but every possible combination around and between a one and a zero, something known as superposition. It's much more theoretical in nature than we've typically conceived of computers doing. And instead of bits of data, quantum computers use something called quantum bits, or qubits for short. And the result is that they process exponentially greater amounts of data much faster. Here is a picture of Sundar Pichai. He's the CEO of Google, standing next to their quantum computer. And Google has announced that its quantum computer is capable of calculating 100 million times faster than any classical computer in its lab. That's mind-blowing. But it's necessary for where the world is headed. And no doubt you've heard of AI by now, artificial intelligence. And no, that's not somebody who thinks they're smart, but they're not. AI is needed with these super quantum computers to manipulate all the massive amounts of data that's going to be coming in real time. What is artificial intelligence? Well, stated simply, it's the field of technology that combines computer science and huge quantities of data sets to enable problem solving that's a lot faster and more complex than the average human mind is capable of. And this is a burgeoning field worldwide right now. In fact, I know of a couple of believers who are part of the church in Milwaukee who that's their area of work. They're into AI. One of them has a PhD in biomedical engineering, but he basically switched from that field to AI because of the urgent need for so much in the field of AI. AI includes machine learning and deep learning. You can see how this is going to be used in robotics and industrial complexes all over the world. And there are vast arrays of AI inputs and applications in use today. In fact, it's fair to say that it's revolutionizing industries worldwide. And it looks like it's here for quite a while. Now, before the rapture and the tribulation arrive, it's already looking like the Antichrist and the end times beast Babylon system of control we'll use all this technology to implement this worldwide system of identification, tracking, and control. And here's a key theological point I want you to keep in mind. You might be asking, well, I thought Satan was really powerful and he's a spiritual being. Why would he care about any of this stuff? This is all physical, right? Remember, Satan and his demons, though they are very intelligent and very powerful, they are not omnipotent. They are not omniscient, and they are not omnipresent. Those attributes belong only to God. And so they, as created finite beings, still need to use means to pull off their system and implement it in the end times. And that's how they will, I believe, they'll use this technology to implement global tyranny and idolatry. Let's go back to satellites for a moment. Currently, there's about 6,000 satellites orbiting the Earth. The World Economic Forum projects there'll be possibly up to 17,000 satellites blanketing the Earth by 2030, especially with Elon Musk's SpaceX Starlink constellation, which will have its own 12,000 satellites, supposedly. And then you have, in addition to that, Amazon's Jeff Bezos' own proposed massive constellation that he's going to send up. And so this is where our world is headed. And most of these satellites will be used for communication and digital information relay with all this massive quantity of data. It's basically the new oil industry data. And so most of them are used for digital communication and information relay. But many are also used for observation purposes, creating a blanket of surveillance around the globe that will be able to not only track financial transactions, but people's actual locations. Now, you're all aware of GPS by now, right? Global Positioning System. GPS gets its information mostly from satellites. But this isn't always reliable. Satellites rely on line-of-sight observation, which can be obscured through atmospheric conditions that are uncooperative. And that's where 5G comes in. Here's an article from a company called Qualcomm. Just a few months ago, they put this up. It explains how global positioning is really being fine-tuned right now with the advent of fifth-generation technology. This Qualcomm article has a supporting document of about 30 pages that says, now because of 5G, cellular networks, sensors, local or personal area wireless technologies, along with AI, can now all function in a complementary sense as technologies to help refine a person's exact location to within just a few feet or perhaps inches. Very interesting. Maybe you've heard of the Internet of Things. Isn't it evident by now that we all have our cell phones on us, we all have our gadgets at home? Everything's hooked up and everything's interconnected these days. But now there's the Internet of Bodies. That's another term that's being more common today, floated out there. The Internet of Things has evolved into the Internet of Bodies. These are devices that are now either on us as wearables or have become part of us as surgical implants or attachments. We're human by, we have our extensions now, or our augments, as they say. Here's an article from Time Magazine from 8 years ago, 2014. The title of the article on the front cover is Never Offline. Subtitle, The Apple Watch is Just the Start. How Wearable Tech Will Change Your Life, Like It or Not. Almost prophetic. Cell phones right now, as I've said, they seem to be just with us all the time, virtually attached to us, right? We don't want to leave the house without them. We have so much information on them. We're so reliable upon them. In essence, they become an extension of ourselves, right? So something that right now is very much detachable, and you don't want to lose it, can very much become implantable with nanotechnology. And that's where things are moving. The World Economic Forum had, in July of 2020, a paper put out on this, and they're the ones who are actually pushing, I would say, the primary pushers or influencers towards this wearable technology and the Internet of Bodies. And here's a little montage of bits of stories on the Internet of Bodies, starting with Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum and ending with Mary Lee of the Rand Corporation.
They call it part of the Fourth Industrial Revolution.
One of the features of this Fourth Industrial Revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us.
The very idea of human being some sort of natural concept is really going to change. Up until now, the conversation we've been having is around freedom of speech. Once we can access people's thoughts and access people's emotions.
The focus, as all of you know today, is on what's now called the Internet of Bodies, involving medical implants and other kinds of devices that go inside your body and all together with the internet as a whole comprise the internet of bodies.
The internet of bodies, or IOB, is actually an ecosystem. It's a bunch of devices that are connected to the internet that contain software and that either collect personal health data about you or can alter the body's function. We think of the internet of bodies as this collection of all these devices as well as all the data that the devices are gathering about you. And in healthcare, it's internet of bodies has been around for quite a while.
So there you go, just a little clip. You can see where this is going again. If you're one of the deplorables as the government views you, it's very easy to just cut you off, like with digital currency. And so the internet of bodies, I believe, can be used either for good or for evil. But I do think it's going to be used, greatly abused, actually, in this controlled society. Again, just think of communist China right now with its social credit score system. And I think that's going to be exported to the rest of the world. And what will happen to people who don't conform? We already know there's people in the tribulation who won't conform, tribulation saints, and we already know what's going to happen to them. They're going to be killed, actually, if they don't comply, or they'll have to go into hiding. So it's not hard to imagine where all of this is leading. And this leads me to our next example. Here's an interesting interview of a woman you're about to see named Eleanor Powles. She's an international AI expert with the Woodrow Wilson Center. She's being interviewed about the Internet of Bodies and what will this mean for humanity. Listen carefully. She's got a thick accent.
So the Internet of Bodies. Imagine the power of AI. What is artificial intelligence? It's a way to automate computation and cognition. So we can now automate learning, perceiving, doing computation. It's a pervasive general purpose technology that will be used in all of our industries, that will come into our professional networks, our private networks, our schools, our industries and our offices. What I wanted to epitomize with the Internet of Bodies is this notion that we will be under assessment, we will be under measure of computation in every aspect of our lives in the future, from what you eat, who you date, what you buy on the internet, how much energy you use, but also what are your vital signs, how well are you doing in terms of health, what kind of specific genetic quirks do you have, what's your genome telling about your health, about your mental health, about how well you are doing, how well you are aging, what kind of disease you are susceptible to.
It has a bit of an Orwellian twinge to it.
Well,
yeah, I'd agree. That's where it's going. Did you notice how she said this is a pervasive technology that's going to be in all of our industries and private networks? And so it's a system of assessment and computation for all aspects of our lives, including how we spend our money. Energy use, she said. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that there's an agenda, and we'll get to this in our session later, on climate change and environment. There's an agenda today to basically tax or limit your amount of energy usage and your carbon footprint. It's a way, again, of controlling people on the planet. And as I said, the World Economic Forum is primarily driving this movement towards digitizing or digitalizing the world in order to reset the world's economy and government. And this organization was started by German engineer and economist, we already saw a brief clip of him, Klaus Schwab, in the 1970s. It's an international hub for world leaders involved in business, government, science, the arts. It's a virtual who's who of world leaders, the most influential people in the world. And Schwab and his associates believe that the concept of the autonomous, sovereign nation state is obsolete and it needs to be, quote unquote, reset for the 21st century and replaced with a new system of public-private partnership or government-corporate technocracy, which I believe is essentially a form of techno-fascism, and that's where things are headed. All of this fits perfectly well with Revelation 13 as well as chapters 17 and 18. Now, obviously, the World Economic Forum, from their vantage point, believes that their mission and their motives are pure and good and, in fact, beneficial to humanity. And from their perspective, it's, you know, they're advertising that they are committed to improving the state of the world. Now, we know, as Bible-believing Christians, that Satan wants to use this world system and that he's also a deceiver. He comes to lie, to steal, and to kill, the Bible says. And he's going to deceive the world into accepting this global tyranny through his marketing efforts that this is all good for the world. But it is not. The World Economic Forum also wants everything run digitally, and so everyone on the planet's going to need a digital ID. You say, no, really? Yes. Here's right from their website. You can go and look for it yourself, the digital identity wheel. And their plan is for every citizen on the planet to have this ID, which will be attached to the currency system that's coming into place. And this will all be pitched to the world as a human right. In fact, in my reading, that's what I'm already seeing, is that they're saying people in remote places of the world, parts of Africa and such, need to have this. And if they don't, they're going to get left behind, to use prophetic terminology. And so they need this as a human right. And aren't you what we all for human rights? We don't want anyone left out, do we? So this is going to be pitched as a very good thing. Now, as you study this wheel, and you can subdivide it into these various categories, and you click on each of these categories, it expands into ever greater levels of planning that they have. Your health care, your financial services, food and sustainability, travel and mobility, just going clockwise, those are the first four, e-commerce at the bottom, and so forth. Government, it'll all be rolled into your digital ID. So you'll have all those documents available electronically, and all of your transaction history will be part of the blockchain. It's all going to be rolled into one, a passport, and so forth. Doesn't it sound great? This is not very appealing, is it? It sounds very dystopian. Well, let's continue, guys, because here's Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum, and this is what he said in an interview from 2016. So this is 6 years ago. It's in French, so you'll have to read the English translation at the bottom, and you'll see what he expected over the next 10 years. So by 2026, we're just a few years away. He said we'll have wearable electronics on our clothing, followed by implantable nanoelectronics to connect us to the World Wide Web.
Aujourd'hui, au bout de ça, on parle de puces qu'on pourra s'implanter. Ce sera quand, ça?
Certainement dans les 10 années à venir. Et d'abord, on va les implanter dans nos vêtements, c'est-à-dire wearables, comme on le dit. Et après, on pourrait s'imaginer qu'on les implante dans nos cerveaux ou dans notre peau. Et à la fin, peut-être il y a une communication directe entre notre cerveau et le monde digital. Ce que nous voyons, c'est une sorte de fusion du monde physique, digital et biologique.
So what he's saying is, in essence, transhumanism, the merging of electronics or technology with our human physical bodies. And you can go online or you can purchase a copy of his book on the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Again, it came out in 2016, so this is 6 years old already. And here are some quotes that I pulled from his book. He says, Fourth Industrial Revolution technologies will not stop at becoming part of the physical world around us. They will become part of us. That's transhumanism in their eyes. These technologies will operate within our own biology and change how we interface with the world. They are capable of crossing the boundaries of body and mind, enhancing our physical abilities, and even having a lasting impact on life itself. People are becoming more and more connected to devices, and those devices are increasingly becoming connected to their bodies. Devices are not just being worn, but also being implanted into bodies, serving communications, location, and behavior monitoring and health functions. And can you imagine? It's true. There's a lot of beneficial health functions in the medical field that are being enhanced through this, but that can also be greatly abused. He says smart tattoos and other unique chips could help with identification and location. Implanted devices will likely also help to communicate thoughts normally expressed verbally through a built-in smartphone and potentially unexpressed thoughts or moods by reading brainwaves and other signals. Smart dust, arrays of full computers with antennas, each much smaller than a grain of sand, can now organize themselves inside the body into as-needed networks to power a whole range of complex internal processes. Very interesting, huh? We are moving towards transhumanism, whether we want it or not. And who here voted for this? Nobody's raising their hand. Well, I didn't either. But this is where we're moving towards as a society. Now, let's move on to another example of where we see technology today that I think is leading towards the fulfillment of these passages on biblical prophecy, which will happen in the tribulation. Perhaps some of this will be in place before the tribulation, before the rapture even. Revelation 13 says, in verses 16 and 17, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one can buy or sell except they have the mark. Now, the word of God is very specific. It doesn't say they'll have a mark under the skin. It doesn't necessarily say it'll be inside of the skin, but it uses a certain preposition that it'll be upon the skin. Epi is the word. There's hypodermic needles that come from hupa in Greek, that preposition, under the skin. And you've heard of epidermis. Well, this is on the skin, actually. And for years, people speculated that, oh, maybe it'll be an RFID chip that is inserted under the skin or in the skin. But the Bible says it'll be on the skin. And it's very interesting that there is technology being developed today with ink tattoos. In fact, about 25% of Americans have tattoos, and so the social stigma of having a tattoo isn't quite what it used to be. But here's an interesting article from last month in Euro Weekly News. It says an electronic tattoo will soon revolutionize our everyday lives. An electronic or digital tattoo is an innovative method that seeks to collect and analyze data from the human body through very tiny nano-sized technology inside our bodies. The key to making this function correctly is the special ink used to apply the tattoo. It purportedly contains tiny sensors and trackers which conduct electricity to send and receive information, something known as near-field communication. And this technology is already being developed, but is showing signs of success. And I want to give you three examples here to show that that article is not misinformation. Three examples, they're all separate cases of scientists who are individually developing this technology, and I just found these right online, so anyone can find these as well. And they're all doing this independently of one another. They're experimenting with flexible ink tattoos. This first example is from 2 years ago, two scientists from University of Illinois and Northwestern University.
There you go.
From MRIs to EKGs, sonograms to scanners, medical technology allows doctors to monitor vital information about the inner workings of the human body. Imagine if some of these machines could be made so thin, light, and portable that they could be attached right to the surface of your skin and go wherever you go.
There's some very sophisticated device functionality sitting on my skin now.
Two NSF-funded innovators have done just that by engineering something called an electronic tattoo, a microelectronic health monitor that has the potential to revolutionize the field of healthcare technology.
The electronic has always been rigid. To make electronics flexible, I mean, that's quite a challenge.
The path taken by...
For time's sake, skip the rest of that. Here's a second example of two scientists from Duke University being interviewed 2019, this is 3 years ago, talking about printing on delicate surfaces like a leaf or skin. And so here's what this interview says.
We were able to develop a silver nanowire ink that allows conductive traces to be printed immediately. So there's no post-processing that's required. That allows for printing on a leaf or on human skin or various different delicate biological substrates. So in our lab, we have arrayed various different inks made out of nanomaterials. That allows us to print electronic devices specifically for biomedical applications.
We have new collaborations we've developed with folks from the medical school here at Duke. These are trained clinicians, active doctors that know where their needs are. And that's exciting. It's exciting to be able to do things that have near-term translation potential.
So low-cost, highly customizable printer and substrate and inks are all required to achieve that.
That's right.
Now, why would it be advantageous to have this available at low cost? For mass production, right? So you could see how this is going to be used. Here's a third example from a TED Talk in 2018 from Carson Bruns. He has a PhD in organic chemistry, and he's an assistant professor at Colorado University.
While I'm an artist, I'm also a scientist. And I direct a laboratory that researches nanotechnology, which is the science of building things with ultra-tiny building blocks, thousands of times smaller even than the width of a human hair. And I began to ask myself, how could nanotechnology serve tattooing? If tattoos are just a bunch of particles in the skin, could we swap those particles out for ones that do something more interesting? Here's my big idea. I believe that tattoos can give you superpowers. Now, I don't mean they're going to make us fly, but I do think that we can have superpowers in the sense that tattoos can give us new abilities that we don't currently possess. By upgrading the particles, we can engineer tattoo inks that will change not only the appearance of our skin, but also the function of our skin.
He continues to say that he's been able to increase skin conductivity 300-fold using these special inks.
Well, if you were to try to tackle that problem with a tattoo, the first step would be to make a tattoo that conducts electricity. So we've been working on a conducting tattoo ink in my lab. And right now, we're able to increase the conductivity of skin over 300-fold with our conducting tattoo ink. Now, we have a long way to go before we reach the conductivity of something like a copper wire, but we're making progress, and I'm really excited about this because I think that it could open up a whole new world of possibility for tattoos. I envision a future where tattoos enable us, tattooable wires and tattooable electronics enable us to merge our technologies with our bodies so that they feel more like extensions of ourselves rather than external devices. So these are a few examples of the new abilities that we can gain by using nanotechnology to upgrade our tattoos. But this really is only the beginning. I believe the sky is the limit for what we can do with high-tech tattoos. What if we could, for example, have tattoos that gave us information about what's going on inside of our bodies, such as our blood sugar levels if we're diabetic, or our blood alcohol content if we're wondering if it's safe to drive?
We'll just stop it right there. Did you hear what he said? The sky's the limit with this, which kind of reminds me of Genesis 11 and the Tower of Babel. God will put a limit on what people are designing and intending with this technology. But he also said that this can be used to detect and monitor what's going on inside of our body, internal bodily processes. And this is where it gets very interesting. Now, don't freak out on me here. I'm gonna take this to one more level here, and you need to hear this, because this is, I think, going to help explain what is going on right now and where this is leading and how Satan will use this. Now, Revelation 13, verse 18 says of this mark that it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, this could be translated, verse 18, it is the number of man. There's no definite article in Greek before anthropou, a word for man. And his number, the number of humanity, in addition to the number of this particular man, the Antichrist, is 666. Now, why is that important? Well, what is this number? I believe that the number three represents God. He's triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one being who is God. And the number six represents man. Remember, he was created on the sixth day. And so Pastor Roxer has explained this before, that he thinks the best explanation for the Antichrist number will be 666 because it represents man in terms of, at his highest, in terms of what he thinks he is. And that is essentially a God-man. The ultimate man in the eyes of the world will be the Antichrist, who embodies and represents the rest of humanity. And perhaps mankind will buy into that and think they are divine beings as well. and that's transhumanism. Unfortunately, we don't have time this morning to cover that, but we'll get to that. And so I think the one who the world will pledge its trust and allegiance to will be this ultimate man represented by the number 666, and it will be the ultimate act of idolatry, taking everyone right back to the garden where Satan tried to sell man on the idea that you shall be like Elohim, God. Now, what I want to show you next is a web page from the World Intellectual Property Office, and what you're looking at is the actual web page for a particular patent that is intended to mine information from inside your body, monitor your bodily processes, and convert that into electronic information that is sent to a centralized storage and computing source to reward people who have this on their bodies with digital currency. And this patent was applied for by the Microsoft Corporation in 2018. It was approved and made public on this WIPO website in March of 2020, so it's been out for 2 years. And I'm still astounded as I think of it, for I've known about it for 2 years. And you can see it for yourself right now if you just go to their website, and don't take my words for it. But this website has all the supporting documentation for this patent with schematics and explanations of what this is intended to be used for. But I want you to notice in the upper left the patent number. WO stands for World Office. 2020 is the year it was approved. And look at the remaining six digits, 060606. Now, I know that that's how the full string of digits is supposed to be broken down, because in a separate supporting PDF document, that's how they have it separated. 060606 is the individual number for this patent from 2020. Now, I ask you, what is the mathematical probability of having this number assigned to this patent for just this particular purpose of mining information from inside your body and rewarding you with cryptocurrency or an electronic currency? I don't think this happened by random chance. I don't know why or how exactly the process went on to get this particular number, but I find it to be an astounding coincidence if all we look at in life is coincidences. No, I think this is leading somewhere, and it's not hard to see anymore. Now, as you look at the supporting documentation, you'll see statements like this. Concept 2, the body activity sensed by the sensor that is on the skin comprises at least one of body radiation emitted from the user, body fluid flow, a brain wave, pulse rate, or body heat radiation. And then they go on to say it can communicate with one or more networks, whether it's a local area network, a wide area network, or public network, i.e. the internet. It can sense brainwave or body heat emitted from the user when the user performs the task provided by an information or service provider, such as viewing advertising or using certain internet services that can be used in the mining process. So instead of massive computation work required by some conventional cryptocurrency systems, data generated based on the body activity of the user can be proof of work, and it goes on to say this will all happen unconsciously. You can just be sitting there watching something they put in front of you. The sensors see what's going on in your body, and they know if you're doing the work that's been assigned to you or not. And you can see this is going to be, in essence, a system of enslavement for the world. Concept 8. The cryptocurrency system awards the cryptocurrency to the user by generating a block for the awarded cryptocurrency and adding the block to a blockchain. Where have we heard about that already? It's part of the digital currency system that is coming to the world very soon. Most blockchain-based currency is decentralized in right now when this patent was being proposed, in the sense that it has no central point of control. However, blockchain-based cryptocurrency can also be implemented in a centralized system having a central point of control over the cryptocurrency. So this patent was developed with a centralized system of control in mind. When you hear about centralized control, especially when it comes to economies, this should trigger alarm bells in your thinking, especially if you've studied history and economics and you know that in the last 100, 150 years, communism and socialism has spoken repeatedly about centralized control. Their economies were controlled through central planners. And some people say, well, they weren't able to pull it off because they didn't have the technology that we have today. But if we had technology that could track and have accurate data, real time, on a massive, all-inclusive scale, then we could pull off socialism. And you can see where this is going. We'll see in a couple sessions coming up on economics how the Bible supports more the idea of the free market rather than a totalitarian type control. Now, to pull all this together and to show you where it's going, I'd like to just show you one more interview with Yuval Noah Harari. This was done 2 years ago, 2020, where he explains how this bio-nanotechnology will fit in this new global economy and government that seeks to control its citizens. But before you hear this, you need to know who Harari is. He's not just some insignificant person. He's very influential on the world stage right now. His nickname is The Prophet by those who know him. He has a doctorate in history from Oxford. He's currently professor of history at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. He's a personal advisor to Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, where he speaks regularly at their annual meetings. He's very well connected with some of the richest, most powerful, and influential people on the planet today. He's also a leading transhumanist and a best-selling author. And about 6 years ago, I watched President Barack Obama being interviewed on TV, and he went on for several minutes raving about a book that he had just read by Yuval Noah Harari. And so here's what Harari said in 2020.
But some governments and corporations, for the first time in history, have the power to basically hack human beings. There is a lot of talk about hacking computers, hacking smartphones, hacking bank accounts, but the big story of our era is the ability to hack human beings. And by this I mean that if you have enough data and you have enough computing power, you can understand people better than they understand themselves, and then you can manipulate them in ways which were previously impossible. And in such a situation, the old democratic system stopped functioning. We need to reinvent democracy for this new era in which humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over. We need to come to terms with the fact that, no matter, again, this is where philosophy meets computer science and biology. No matter what you think ultimately is the truth of the universe, you have to realize that practically today we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. And this means we need to reinvent democracy. We need to reinvent the market. Again, the whole idea of the customer is always right. We just do whatever the customers want. Yes, but you can now hack the customers. You can manipulate the customers to want what you tell them to want. So this whole idea that corporations just serve the needs of the customers, this is over. You can't hide behind this explanation anymore.
There it is, folks. That's where things are headed. And today's technology allows that to be pulled off. Now, you're probably shaken by some of this. If this is all new to you, I don't blame you if you are. But we need to think biblically about all this, and so let's bring it back to Scripture. Keep in mind that just as at Babel, we also know with the tribulation that God is in sovereign control over all of this, hasn't taken him by surprise. And in fact, he told us in advance where this was all headed. And he has said that right now, the restrainer, who is the Holy Spirit working through the church, is in place. And all of this system is still being restrained, even though the technological developments are continuing on. This will not be pushed onto the world and enforced until, I believe, at least the midpoint of the tribulation, which is 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation phase, and will be raptured prior to that. So there's still some time for this whole system to coalesce and be imposed coercively on the world. And so keep that in mind, even though we're seeing these things develop now. Keep in mind as well that even though we're hearing about all this invasion of our privacy and autonomy bodily, keep in mind what 1 John 4:4 says, that greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. Your body is God's property, and he will redeem it in his good timing and way at the rapture. The Holy Spirit is your seal to that end. We also know from passages like Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, that God knows the end from the beginning. I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient days the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my good pleasure. Now, what we saw in Revelation fits with what we're seeing unfold today in an amazing way, down to the details of Greek prepositions. And so God saw all this in advance. He doesn't want your faith to be shaken, and he doesn't want it to be stirred either. He wants it to be confirmed. And this should all be great confirmation to you that God knows everything that's going to happen, and he's in total control, and you can continue to trust him through these dark and turbulent days until he comes for us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we just pray you would use it to that end with the things that we've seen this morning. And we commit this to you now in Jesus' name.